AJ, Bridge and Spider for breakfast.
Pod podcast, whatever that means.
Yossi.
Yeah, Yossi, do you want to take us back to the start? You used to just work jobs such as, fishing in Alaska, construction work in Norway, whatever it was, just to collect money to travel. How did you end up in the jungle?
Well, that's why I worked so hard. The jungle was the objective of my dream. I decided I'm going to be an explorer at a young age. I read too many adventure books and took them seriously. You know, Shackleton, Fawcett, and I decided that I'm going to be an explorer. And I decided my first expedition is going to be into the uncharted Amazon. I worked for a year in Norway, in Alaska, lost all my money in Vegas. Then I worked another 6 months. Finally, I managed to travel, and then in the end, I found my jungle. I found my uncharted, and much more than what I bargained for.
So in 1981, you trek into the Bolivian Amazon with two fellow travelers to find a lost tribe and a river of gold. I mean, what a start to a story. So time to fill in the gaps.
Well, it took me a year to find that Austrian geologist that promised me this adventure. Now, this is why I came for. And this Austrian geologist wasn't a geologist, and he's been a bit of a shady character and a pathological liar. I think he picked up on my dream. Nonetheless, we did enter the uncharted Amazon, and we went deep, deep for about 3 weeks. We just hiked, trying to find that lost tribe and the gold in the river. We never found them. What we did find is that the rawness, the primal experience that brought us to drop our masks and see each other naked in front of each other and with all the darkness. Believe me, the inner darkness was more scary than the darkness of the jungle. Just, you know, that Lord of the Fly kind of notion when you're away from civilization. Then one of us was injured. We had to evacuate. Things started going wrong. The guide, we couldn't trust anymore because he kept on contradicting his own stories. We understood he's a liar. We didn't know what to do. We built a raft and tried to evacuate, but the river was wild. So at a certain junction, we did something unthinkable, but we did it. We just split the group into two. And this is middle of the uncharted Amazon. The guide took this, one of my fellow travelers, the Swiss guy, and they tried to evacuate by walking up a tributary. They were never seen again. Me and my other fellow traveler, Kevin, we kept on the raft. A few hours later, we went down a waterfall, crashed on a rock, and lost each other in the river. What followed from that moment on is 3 weeks of solo survival without any equipment, fire, gun, food, nothing, in the midst of the rainy season against all the elements. And, you know, it's a big story.
How does somebody survive 3 weeks in the Amazon? It must have got to a stage where, you know, just even food, exhaustion, you would have had injuries of foot rot. How do you survive that long?
Look, it's hard to answer because the local people, the indigenous people, told me later that one of them would not survive in such conditions.
Oh, wow.
So it's very hard to answer this question. I know that on my part, I discovered that I can deal with it, you know, despite all the injury and the misery and the famine and the punishment and the fear and the beast and all that. When actually your life is at risk, you rise up to the challenge. That's just the nature of it. And so for me, it was actually awe-inspiring to discover for the first time of my life that actually I am a hero. I didn't have a choice. I didn't have a choice. But I say this wasn't enough, you know. And what I mean by that, that I more than feel, more than think, I experience providence as well. As in my life were saved against all odds once and again and again. So in a way, I really think it wasn't my time to go. And I was kept alive. That's really what I think.
You say that you understand survivors eating the dead in situations like this. And you're quoted at saying you would have eaten human flesh with a hunger at that level. It's just energy. It's beyond disgust. I suppose you can't even explain that feeling.
Yeah, I can explain, but it's not that, I just want to clear, it's not about killing somebody.
No, of course not.
No, I'm referring to that famous story alive of the survival of the Andes when they. I understand them because if I would have been in that situation, I would have eaten the flesh of human body because it's beyond any emotion. It's just sheer energy. In such circumstances, when you exert so much energy to depletion, when nothing, there's no food, when you survive on raw egg one or two a day and nothing else, it's not about, nothing can disgust you, nothing can be, so it was just sheer energy. So if I open an egg and there was an embryo inside the egg, I'll just chew the embryo. And, you know, like nothing, it's just, it's on the level of survival. It just, you need energy in, and there's, it just, it's not about taste, it's not about emotion, it's just about energy.
What was that, what was the moment like when the rescuers finally found you?
And this, when I talk about Providence, that's an excellent example. There were, Kevin, my friend, actually survived and was found by local hunters. And they took him out of the Amazon, but he came back with a dugout canoe and with them to, in search for me, with the local tribal people. And actually, they decided to turn back after 3 days of going and searching up the river. They decided to turn back, but they couldn't turn back because the river was so narrow and swift. So they looked for a playa where they can land and manually turn the boat. I collapsed on that playa the night before. Here they are landing on the playa, and they didn't even see me, and I didn't see them. They actually just jumped, turned the boat. They were in a rush. It was dusk. They were in a rush to evacuate quickly. It was dangerous. The river could flood. So they were pushing the dugout canoe off the shore. When I heard the noise, I thought it's a wasp or a bee. At the last moment, I raised my head and saw a boat going downriver. I jumped, but I couldn't run and I couldn't scream. It was another miracle that for some reason, Kevin just turned his head and he saw me standing there on the playa.
That is incredible.
The moment, yeah. I just want to say, you know, like on my part, that I came back to that river 10 years later and I made it my home, and it's my home until this very day. Next week, I'm going to be there again. The Amazon became part of my life. The tribe that saved both Kevin and me, I'm one of the tribe today and their ambassador in the world. And I'm working with them, you know, like to show that sustainable maintenance of the Amazon is actually the best way for everybody. Well, so the Amazon actually became part of my life ever since.
Most people couldn't go back to the scene of trauma. You've tested it, and you say under such circumstances, that's when we really become superheroes, and you would never undo that fateful decision to enter the jungle. Finally, Yossi, what lessons has the jungle taught you?
Well, you know, there's a lot that he taught me. So just to encapsulate this, like, you know, about myself and about the nature of survivor. Actually, I think it's not a big deal to survive in extreme circumstances. It's actually easy to be a hero when the circumstances demand it.
Right.
I think it's much, much more difficult to be a hero in the mundane day-to-day when we just have a normal life than be a hero. That's hard. To be a hero in extreme situation, it's natural. It's auto peak performance, you know, it's not up to you. So that's one thing. The other thing that I learned has to do with the 3 years that I lived together with the indigenous when we built our resort in Chalalan.
Yeah.
Then when I understood something about nature, which is amazing and actually on the level of enlightenment, the codependency in the Amazon is so innate, it's so part of the system, that actually it's not about competition. It's not you go down and I go up. It's not about cutthroat. It's not about, it's a jungle out there. It's not about dog eat dog. It's the opposite. It's coexistence. It's synergy and symbiosis. And when everybody cooperates in such innate way, there's abundance. Even though the Amazon is the most dense place on the planet, nobody goes hungry. There's plenty for everybody. And that's a big enlightenment to how we should lead life on this planet, not only in the Amazon. So this is what I'm trying to pass on also to businesses that invite me for consulting, etc. Or for keynote, in more than consulting.
Thank you, Yossi. That was amazing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, my pleasure. And watch the movie. Daniel is doing an amazing job. Greg McLean is a master of the thrill. And I think the movie encapsulates the essence of the story. I'm very proud and happy and thankful.
AJ, Bridge and Spider for Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5 on 92.5 Gold FM.